First of all, I'd just like to greet you all in Jesus' name this morning. Appreciated the song service that we had. Some of the songs that were chosen that stood out to me. Channels only. Like Aaron said, we can only be channels. There's nothing in ourselves as man that can do anything. It's only being channels of what God has done. And this morning, I wanted to just talk a little bit about a surrendered life. Now, I could give you lots of instructions and lots of ways to make this happen, but I don't think I'm going to do a lot of that. I want to just have a couple examples in Scripture here that I think speak for themselves, that give us the example that it just speaks louder than words, I guess, just to see some of these men. And the first one that I thought about was Abraham. And I'm going to be reading a few verses in Genesis 22. We look at Abraham and we look at him as a man of faith. We look at him as, being this spiritual giant that's referred to a lot, even in the New Testament. And as we look at being surrendered, which I believe that was a key thing of Abraham's life, he was surrendered to God. He had commitment. We talked about commitment here in our brothers' meeting Wednesday night. And, commitment is very important. There's lots of things that are very important. Obedience. But if we look at being surrendered, I look at it a little bit different. It's not that we're trying really hard. We just give up. We lay ourselves out. You think of surrender as yielding yourself to authority, as yielding yourself to God, to whatever. You can be surrendered probably to the wrong things, but being surrendered is, you look at, maybe you heard of a hostage situation sometime, or maybe somebody that was at war and then they surrendered. When you think of that surrendered, it's they gave up. Their hands are up. All their weapons are laid down. They have nothing to hold anymore. It's all giving up. And that's how it is in our spiritual life, I believe. And this example really stood out to me with Abraham, and that's why I want to read that story here in Genesis 22, starting in verse 1. And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, here am I. And he said, Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and givest. And get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering unto one of the upon one of the mountains, which I will tell thee of. And Abraham rose up early in the morning, and saddled his ass, and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up and went unto the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, Abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship, and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son, and he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, My father. And he said, Here am I, my son. And he said, Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? And Abraham said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. And they came to the place which God had told him of, and Abraham built an altar there, and laid the wood in order, and bound Isaac his son, and laid him upon the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here am I. And he said, lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in the thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. An angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of heaven the second time and said, by myself have I sworn, said the Lord, for behold, thou hast done this thing, and hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of heaven, and as the sand which is upon the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. We look at Abraham here. You know, just what was going through Abraham's mind. Did he have a struggle to surrender? I don't know. It doesn't really say. You know, God had told Abraham to offer up his only son Isaac, and this was the son that God had promised him. It was his only son. It was... I don't know what was going through his mind, but he obeyed. He surrendered to God. And I think that Abraham probably had a relationship with God enough that he just obeyed. He just automatically did it. He didn't question it. You know, I think surrendering, you know, it's a giving up, but I think that's probably harder than doing something. You know, if I could tell you all these things of what you should do and that take effort, I think some of those things most of those things would probably be easier than just giving up. I think giving up is the hard thing. But we also see Isaac. What about Isaac? Was he surrendered to? We don't see that he put up any fight. We don't see that he wanted his will. You know, we really don't know. But it seems like Isaac was surrendered to the will of his father. And he was, as Abraham was surrendered to the will of his father. And another example that... we look at is Jesus. You know, when Jesus was in the garden and he was going to be betrayed, he was praying, and there was a struggle there. So I'm assuming that Abraham probably had a struggle too, because Jesus had a struggle. He sweat as it was drops of blood. But he said, nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. He was surrendered to the will of the Father. But not only was Jesus surrendered to the will of his Father, well, that was the ultimate surrender, but he surrendered to his persecutors. When they came to take him away, when Judas betrayed him, he said, whom seek ye? And they answered, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus said unto them, I am he. It wasn't that he just gave himself up. He had to say it a couple times. They just stood there, and he said, I am he, the second time. And they were so blown away that, I don't know why, probably the power of Jesus, but that he gave himself up. They fell over backwards, it says. And then he had to ask them again, whom seek ye? This wasn't something that Jesus kind of reluctantly gave himself to. He willingly gave himself up. He willingly surrendered his life to them. And as I was reading this about Jesus too, something else stood out to me that I don't think I've seen before. I didn't notice it before. But Judas also surrendered himself to the devil. It says, Judas, which betrayed him, stood with them. The ones that came to take Jesus, Judas stood with them. It was a deliberate action on his part. He surrendered himself to the devil, I believe. Nobody made him do that. He did it. It was his choice. But what does that look like today in our lives? A surrendered life. A life of following God and giving our lives for the sake of the gospel. It's probably different for every one of us. What do we do with the things that we can't change in our lives? What do we do with the gifts that God has given us? Do we try so hard? Do we put forth much effort? Do we put forth a lot of effort? What do we do with the life that God has given us? Maybe God just wants us to surrender. Maybe God just wants us to give it up. Maybe God just asks us to do that. I don't know. How did Abraham do it? How did Jesus do it? Jesus prayed. The disciples couldn't pray very long at all, and they just fell asleep. Is that like we are sometimes? We get tired. Maybe we just need a surrender. Maybe it's our will that is holding us back. You know, a surrendered life brings a huge blessing. But that's not why we should live a surrendered life. It's because it's the right thing to do. It's because God is worthy. You know, Abraham was pronounced a blessing. But do you think that's why he did it? Do you think Abraham was thinking that God is just going to turn around and... Maybe he was, but I believe he just did it because he knew that everything was in God's hands, that he could trust God, that whatever God did, that it would be for his glory and for eternal good. You know, I don't know how many of you watched that video, that link that I had posted to the men's group. We had talked a little bit about it, brothers' meeting. Our study was on commitment. And that video of Alan Barnhart and you just have to watch it, I guess, if you didn't. But he gave his business away to God. You know, it really impressed me. I had to go back and listen a couple times, and the surrendered life that he must have lived or was living to be able to do that. Now, you know, if somebody wants to give, you know, 10%, 40%, 60% of their business to God, you know, it's impressive. But what really impressed me is how he gave his business completely to God, and he capped his income where he said, I won't take more than this amount, and the rest of it God will get. And his humility in it, And you know, sometimes looking at somebody like that that's alive today, you know, makes more of an impression on me than, you know, we can look at the Bible and we think, well, that was Abraham or that was Jesus, and I know we need to, but it doesn't, I guess, sometimes sink in, at least for me, as much as if you see somebody in, you know, present day, you know, now doing something like that, you know, somebody that's committed and has surrendered their life to God. And I know that's only one area, and you know, one example, and there's many, many examples, I'm sure, but just the challenge that that something like that can do for us. You know, he said, Alan made the point that business success is much more dangerous than failure. You know, nowadays we see a lot of the prosperity gospel again, and maybe in a different, has a different cover on the book. It's has different clothes on now, but it's still the same prosperity gospel. And I know God will bless his people, and I don't want to discredit that at all. But so many times, you know, we look at that and we think, well, God will, you know, if you give or you do all these things, God will bless you. Where, you know, when you see an example of somebody that says, I don't care how much God blesses me, I'm only going to take this amount, and the rest of it, I'm not even taking a percentage of that. I'm going to give it all to God, the rest of it, whatever it is. And to see his business wasn't his, actually. He gave it away. But the business, you know, is doing, you know, very well, you know, over $400 million today in business in, you know, in a year. And it's just, and his humility about that, and it's like it's completely almost out of his hands. Like, this is God's. But, you know, sometimes, you know, we look at something like that and, well, you know, we can't relate to that because, you know, we don't have a business like that to give, or we don't have all these things. But, you know, the spirit of it is what was challenging to me. It's just that you know, everything I have is God's, and the surrender of his life. And then what his wife Catherine said, she said, what are my children going to tell their children about me? And she could have been this wife of this wealthy businessman. She could have had a lot of money. But her words were, I hope they tell them that she loved God with her whole heart and was courageous. And that just really sunk in, you know, like, you know, everything that we have in this life, you know, is going to fade away other than our relationships. And, you know, what we have, you know, our surrender to God and what God uses as these as channels, you know, there's nothing we can do. There's nothing that we have that that's physical in this life that we can take with us, that we can say this is ours. Everything we have, we need to surrender to God, and we need to give him everything. And that's what I want for my life. Even though the struggle is real, you know, we want at least something for ourselves, don't we? You know, we deserve a little bit of vacation. We deserve a little bit of reward. We think we do, but do we really? Or is everything we have, is it really God's? So, thank you.
Good morning. I'm going to share just a little bit this morning. I don't have a whole lot. I don't feel like I'm maybe a long-winded speaker, but I'll try my best. So thank you so much, Leon, for what you shared. Appreciate that about being surrendered. I think that's very, very important, and I think it kind of goes along with what I have to share. And yeah, the life of Abraham, he was quite the man. And I get what you mean about, you know, we think, you know, Abraham, yeah, he had a lot of faith, but that was back then. That was a different time and a different place. But when we see it in today's world, like that video you mentioned, I watched that too, and I was really, really blessed by that, and how it kind of hits closer home when you see it in today's world. But I guess for this morning, what I have to share is a little bit, just some things that I've been thinking about as well, that have been, just things that have been happening in my own life, I guess. And starting out is I felt in the last, I don't know, the last year or even 2 years, just overwhelmed with blessings and just the things that God has done for me. And I just, when I'm praying, I almost can't get done thanking him for the things he's done for me. And with that, it's like sometimes I know, I don't know if you'd call that like a mountaintop or whatever, but I want to channel that, the blessings that God has given me to good and not just to serve myself, I guess. And it wasn't always that way. I'm just going to read some verses, just Psalms 23. It's very familiar verses, but I'm just going to read it. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And I've read these verses, you know, throughout my life before, and just, I don't know, I guess they never really meant to me what they mean now. And verse 5, it says, Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, and my cup runneth over. I guess maybe going back a little bit in my life, it wasn't always this way. I guess I feel like I've, God has brought me through a lot, and feel like there was a time in my life when I was not on a mountaintop, or I was not experiencing God like I should have, and I feel like God has taught me so much through all that. And at the time, I didn't realize. I would ask God, why? You know, what did I do to deserve this? And now I'm asking God, what did I deserve to do? What did I do to deserve what I have now? And I think in those times of struggle, it's a little bit hard to see why God lets things happen like he does. And but looking back now, I see why God let those things happen. And and I can see where God has changed me through that. verse 5, it says, yeah, preparest a table before me, where I get this picture of how we can sit at God's table, and it's not just a little kid's table. It's like a oak, you know, beautiful wood, hardwood table with chairs, big chairs, and we can sit there and in the presence of God eat, and even in the presence of our enemies, if we keep our focus on Jesus, we can live victorious and all that. And I just I think, and if you read in the notes here in my Bible, it talks about the, I always kind of wondered why it says, anointest my head with oil. And in the Middle Eastern culture back then, it was customary for the host to anoint the heads of his guests and to protect them at all costs. And I feel like that's God is our host, and we can live assured that He will protect us and never leave us and always be there for us. And all we have to do is ask. And I haven't even opened my notes yet, so let's do that now, I guess. I'm so thankful for that. Thankful that we can be just assured of our salvation as well. It's just there's so much that we are so blessed with, and I guess, yeah, just an encouragement. You know, if you're going through something hard, or there's so many things that we deal with, and you know, God is sovereign through all that, and may not be able to see it now, but maybe someday we will. Why? You see, and we'll see why those things are happening. If we look at the world today, we live in a very, very broken world, and there's so many things that are happening out there in the world that are just terrible. I mean, it's not, you don't have to go to Haiti or Ukraine to see it. It's right here around us. We went to watch fireworks the other night in Oroville, and just walking through a crowd of people, you see nothing but hurt almost. It's like, and with the culture, I guess, we live in is just, it's pretty sad. And I feel like if we are, you know, living in a way that giving thanks to God and praising God even when things are hard, our love can overflow and people around us can see that. And that's something I've not done in my own life, and I want to. That's what I want to be. I want to be a channel for God. And a few other verses. 1 Peter 3, also very familiar verses. 1 Peter 3 through 9. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to the inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season it need be ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth through to be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen ye love, in whom though now ye see him not, yet believing, yet rejoicing with joy unshakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. And here I think it's we need to keep along with that, we need to keep a eternal perspective, I guess, in life, and with the things that we own, the things we have, and things we've been blessed with. Ultimately, we don't own them; they're God's. And I feel like too many times I hold on to those things I have, and I almost catch myself thinking, you know, I need to really hang on to these things because at some point God's going to take them from me. Or at some point, you know, calamity, I guess, is going to fall. And you know, I guess I've maybe become, maybe in years past, I've been kind of cynical or like thinking maybe God doesn't really care, you know, when maybe things start to work out or things start to go better, you know, it's like, when is God going to take this from me? And I don't want to live like that. And ultimately, though, nothing we have is ours, it's God's. And yeah, I think that's all I have. And yeah, like I said, I'm not long-winded, and I appreciate your attention. And yeah, that's all.